Hello, this is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing and founder of the Genius Network interview series, and you're about to hear one of my Genius Network interviews, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this, and I hope you find it very useful. If you want to find out more information about some of the interviews and resources that can help you in your business, you can go to www.joepolish.com, and we have a Joe Polish Recommends section with all kinds of resources and vendors and services and products that we recommend that can help you in your business. And also for more useful interviews and a whole list of other people that I've interviewed, you can go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks and enjoy the interview.
Hello, this is Joe Polish, and welcome to Genius Network. And today I'm going to interview my friend Barbara DeAngelis, who is awesome. And I want to give everyone a little bit of background on who she is. Dr. Barbara DeAngelis is one of the most influential teachers of our time in the field of personal and spiritual development. For the past 35 years, she's reached tens of millions of people throughout the world with her positive messages about love, happiness, and the search for meaning in our lives. As a best-selling author of over 14 books, popular television personality, and sought-after motivational speaker, Barbara is legendary in the fields of personal transformation as one of the first people to popularize the idea of self-help in the 1980s. And as the first female motivational teacher on television. Her sold-out seminars, books, TV, and radio shows, speaker trainings, and coaching programs have generated over $200 million in revenue. Barbara's most recent book, How Did I Get Here? Finding Your Way to Renewed Hope and Happiness When Life and Love Take Unexpected Turns, has won numerous awards. Additionally, she's been a frequent guest on Oprah, The Today Show, Good Morning America, The View, Geraldo, and Politically Incorrect, as well as a regular contributor to E! Entertainment News in Los Angeles. Currently, Barbara is president of Shakti Communications Incorporated, dedicated to bringing enlightened messages to the world through educational seminars and all electronic and print mediums. So, Barbara, how are you?
I'm wonderful and delighted to speak with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this this interview, and I know we're going to talk about some fascinating stuff because you always have so much fascinating things to share. Let's get all of our listeners up to speed. What has Barbara been up to these days?
Transforming people so they can transform the world. That's what I do. Whenever I'm interviewed, because I've done so many things, you know, I'm writing bestsellers, and in fact, the other day I was on Harv Eker's stage, and he said, Barbara writes real bestsellers, meaning the kind that are the number one New York Times bestsellers.
Right.
No offense to any other kind, but those are hard. But between my work writing and TV and coaching and speakers training and speaking and everything else I do, whenever I'm asked, people say, you know, what do you want me to call you? And I always say, you know, I'm a transformational specialist, because that really pretty much sums up the real juice behind everything I do.
What is transformation in your definition of it? What does that mean to you?
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not change. A lot of people mistake the idea of making changes in their life for transformation. Transformation or change and change are two different things. You can imagine change is somebody saying, you know what, I'm used to running my business this way, and I think what I'll do is I'll get more interaction with clients, or I think what I'll do is we'll have a different way of presenting things, or I'll change my logo. Perhaps I'll start talking about some different topics. That's change. Change is rearranging the furniture.
Right.
Transformation is buying a new house. It means transforming who you are, how you function, and who shows up when you do things. So that when you're transforming yourself, your entire world is transforming. The difference between transformation and change would be pruning a rose bush to make sure it looks better, taking off some of the bad little roses that are dying, maybe changing some things around. Transformation is doing something at the root of the rose bush, so the roses suddenly start turning out purple with pink stripes. It looks completely different. And that's what I mean by transformation from the inside out. My belief in my own life through my own studies and practices since I was 18, which is a long time ago, almost four decades. Actually, it is four decades now. What should I say? Four decades. So for over 40 years, I've been doing very, very deep, profound spiritual development work. And my understanding and my experience and the basis for all my success is this understanding that life really happens on the inside. And that all change, real change, meaning transformation, happens from the inside out. And that when we shift, really shift, who we are, how we think, how we vibrate, how we show up, we will be able to have profound impact on the world and on everybody around us. So that's been the way I've lived my life. That's been the source of my success. And when I say I'm a transformational specialist, that's how I work with people. There's people who do great, incredible work. So many of my friends and colleagues helping people, for instance, become an internet marketer, or helping somebody learn how to write a great book proposal, or helping somebody learn how to develop a certain kind of career. That's fantastic stuff. I could teach those things if I wanted to, many of them, but what I do is very different. It's not about the system, it's about the person using it. It's not about the process on the outside, it's about the presence on the inside. And some people don't even know what that means. Some people have a sense, they kind of think they know what it means. Some people who've done a lot of work go, I know exactly what it means because I need it. And that's my niche, and I've been doing that really in every form, and my career has taken many incarnations. I started out, and we can talk about it, you know, doing something very different, and it moved and morphed, et cetera. But it's all come down to the same idea. And so it's my specialty. It's what I love to do. It's what I do best. I'm not interested in helping people change. I want to help them radically transform so that they can truly do what they came here to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, you have a couple of well-known people, your friends, and also some of the top book authors and spiritual leaders in the world have really admired your work. I want to read a couple of things that people said about you for purpose of some clarification. Deepak Chopra says, she takes the complex and makes it practical. I think she's brilliant. And then Wayne Dyer said, Barbara's one of the finest transformational teachers we have in the world today. And there's so much, going back to the quote from Deepak, taking the complex and making it practical. There is so much complexity in the world of self-help and personal development, and there's so many people out there seeking and searching. And I want to kind of go back to when you started out at 18 years old. What was Barbara at 18 looking for? Because you didn't just take on something. I mean, you really took it on. You've learned so much. You've done so much. You've spoken to millions of people. What were you looking for back at that time? Because I want to really kind of get into what are people really looking for when they buy a book, when they go to a seminar, when they're seeking out transformation or change or whatever. I wanted to kind of tell it from your own personal experience.
It's a beautiful question. It's the question. It's the question that was the central point of my life for a long time, and the answer is very simple, and it's one word. I was looking for freedom.
Freedom.
Freedom. And I think everyone's really looking for freedom. Freedom means two things, freedom from what and freedom to what. So
right.
I was looking for freedom from suffering, freedom from limitation, freedom from the sense that life didn't make sense, freedom from a feeling of limitation, freedom from fear, and I was looking for freedom to be the fullest, most magnificent me I could be, freedom to remember my purpose and live it, freedom to love as fully as I could, to show up as magnificently as I could, to be as passionate as I could, to really actualize who I was and what I was supposed to be doing during my visit to this planet. And the thing about looking for freedom is that most of the ways that people do this are very, very temporary. You know, you're feeling depressed because you're not happy with something about yourself. You're looking for freedom from that feeling, so you go out and have five margaritas. Okay?
Right.
And for an hour, you think you're free until you wake up and you're not free from the hangover, you know?
Yep, exactly.
You're feeling a sense of wanting to be loved, wanting to feel connected. So you end up running around, keeping yourself super busy, going to every party or every event or every whatever it is. And while you're very busy, you feel free from the loneliness or the gnawing feeling until you have to finally come home and you're back with yourself again. So if you really look at almost every human interaction, almost everything that moves us to do things, I think they're all about freedom. It's that spiritual cosmic desire to be free from the limitation of, is this all there is? Is this just me? What is the purpose of life? Who is Joe? Who is Barbara? What are we doing here? Big questions. And I've always, from the time I can remember, been asking the big questions even when I was a child. I'm an old, old soul. And I think that we're in a time right now in the world where so many people are asking bigger and bigger questions, and that really the whole personal development industry ultimately is about that at its core. So for me, I've been asking those questions. The problem with asking big questions is when you don't find any answers, you're tortured. And I was a really tortured, unhappy child and adolescent because I did not understand who I was, what I was doing here. I didn't know anyone else asking big questions. I didn't grow up in a family like that. I had a very unhappy childhood situation. And until I went away to college and my first week with grace saw a poster on a bulletin board that said, learn to meditate. It had a picture of an Indian spiritual master, and went to a lecture and suddenly for the first time heard an explanation of the idea of something called within, that there was consciousness, that there was something beyond just living to make money, get married, you know, get things, and then die. As soon as I heard that, it was so familiar. It was like an alarm clock went off. And I remembered and suddenly understood I'm a seeker. And I've been a seeker without knowing what that was. But I talk a lot about the importance of naming things in our life. A lot of people, even listening right now, are going through times in their life that they haven't named or articulated properly, or they've misnamed it. And so, and we can talk about this, and so they are suffering because they don't have things properly named. And I didn't have what, my disease of the heart properly named. I thought I was just depressed. I was a frustrated seeker. Once I understood that and began to learn some techniques to go deep within, everything in my life radically, overnight, completely changed. And I found myself not just seeking, but finding. And that's the point. And the finding has continued my whole life. And this is really, even 40 years later, in whatever form, what I really offer and teach people. So my journey, thank goodness, started very early, and very early on, I found great teachers and guides to help me on the path, people who've been before me. And of course, this is what all great teachers or guides do. This is what you do. This is what so many of your friends and my friends do. And it's certainly what I do, is to take the journey and then help people who are interested in taking the journey by giving them a map of where you've been so that they don't fall in the holes.
Yeah.
Get kidnapped by the pygmies, you know, and actually can find their way forward with joy.
Yeah, which is fantastic. And, you know, yeah, it really is about giving people maps, and it's about once you've, you know, sought your way through the jungle or through wherever, and you've actually learned things that you can now impart that wisdom. I think that's a great way to spend your life, and it's a good thing to do to help other people. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. You used the word seeker, and you're a frustrated seeker, and as you well know, there's many people that are in the personal development world that are frustrated seekers. And what I admire about these people is at least they're seeking. They're out there looking for something. They're wanting to make their lives better. They're wanting to get some area of their life they don't have handled. They want to, you know, have more woo and less ah in their life, and you certainly help people there. What would you say to all the frustrated seekers, the people that really are working in their minds, working really hard? They're trying to figure it out, and it's just they're seeking, but they're not, as you said, finding. The finding part has not yet happened to them. What would you say to them? What do they need to do?
Well, the first, it's a great question, and I think the first thing is, you know, imagine you're looking for gold, and you heard that there's gold somewhere, and you are going to search for it because you hear that it's valuable and it will bring you great wealth and peace, and so you decide that you're going to go dig for gold in the desert, and you spend years doing it, and finally you're so frustrated you decide there must not be gold, there's no such thing as gold, the people are misleading you, and as you're traveling back hundreds of miles to where you live, you pass somebody with a big pot of gold. And you say, where did you get the gold? He says, well, I went to the place where the gold mine is and dug deep down inside, and that place has been known to have gold. So the first answer is sometimes frustrated seekers are frustrated because they're looking in the wrong place.
Right.
You know, you have to ask yourself, you know, seeking is one thing. The direction in which you're seeking is another. For instance, and this is something I share to people, if you're seeking the deepest fulfillments in life, freedom, connectedness, peace, service, and you are seeking it through becoming rich as a sole purpose, you will not find gold. You'll find money, but you won't find gold. You and I both know, and I know we do, many really, really miserable, wealthy people.
Oh yeah, totally. We could.
It does not mean that wealth or abundance is bad. I have a seminar called "Opening Up to Prosperity," which is called prosperity, not just wealth, for a reason. And what prosperity really means, and how to really open to it, and how we block it. But one of the things that is important for us to understand is that when we're looking for things we think will make us happy, and they don't, we will just want more of it. And we will think that the more is what's going to make us happy, instead of understanding that perhaps, again, we're looking in the wrong direction. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't want abundance. I've had a lot of abundance in my life, and I teach people to have abundance. But it's not the same as freedom. It's not the same as happiness. So when you ask that question, you know, what, there's people out there who are seeking, and what are they seeking? The first thing I do is I help people ask questions, because a lot of times people are also not just seeking in the wrong direction, but they're asking the wrong questions. There's a phrase I talk about, digging deep for wisdom, which means having the courage to really ask questions, digging until you find insights, until you find revelations, and digging also until you hit things, even if it seems like for a while you're not seeing them. And it means having the courage to ask the questions that are challenging to yourself, about yourself, and about life. When you do that, you may be in a place where you're asking yourself difficult questions, and at first they may seem to have no answers, you see. But I talk about transformation requiring that courage to ask yourself the difficult questions and to hold those questions firmly in your awareness, when they will really start burning away your illusions, sometimes even your comfort, sometimes even definition of yourself. But on the other side of that are answers. And this is really what the journey of life is about. And I think what's sad for me is when I see people who, they start out, as you said, as seekers, and they get sidetracked on the path of real service, real transformation, real freedom, by getting caught up in thinking that just getting material things is a destination. And it's not a destination, it's a tool. That's all it is. And this is one of the big messages, and you've heard me talk about this, that I always give at conferences, even when everybody else is talking about how to make $1 million in 2 minutes. You know, it's nothing wrong with millions of dollars. I've made millions of dollars. But if that's your destination, then you're shortchanging yourself. You see?
Yeah.
And I have so many clients who are very successful, various degrees of success, who come to me because they finally get that to really be successful, they need to not just be able to accumulate things, but to make a big difference and to be as powerful as they can from the inside so that they can impact people in an even bigger way. And they realize that they have some inner work to do, some baggage they haven't quite let go of, and it's their time to work with me. So this all goes back to your question about seekers, you know, and what does it mean to really be seeking, and why are people frustrated? And I always say if you're looking in the same direction for the same things and not finding them, then you need to, you know, look around the corner, shift your focus. And then the question is, how do you do that? And of course that gets down to the technology of transformation, which is what I do and love to do.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that process. What I want to ask you first, though, because it's a sort of a question I've always thought about. People that you consider successful, and maybe we should define success, but the people that you see as most successful, most evolved, most aware, are they all or have they always been seekers?
I don't think, then the question is, what is always?
Yeah,
I think there's people who, we all wake up at different times in our life. You know, there's a spiritual alarm clock that goes off.
Spiritual alarm clock. That should be marketed.
Some people have it go off when they're very young. Some people it's been ringing since they can never remember, like me. Some people have something happen to them that is a wake-up call, and it could be a tragedy, a loss, a health crisis, where suddenly things shift and they remember that there's something else they're here to do, and their life takes a turn, and they talk about that. Some people, it happens much later in life when they've gotten a lot of the things that they thought would make them happy. They've experienced the things they thought would make them happy, and they still find themselves looking for something. And all of a sudden it dawns on them that there's something more, and that the direction they need to look has to be different. So it's different for everyone. But the most important thing, as you said, is the courage it takes to actually be living a life when you're waking up versus asleep is what excites me. Because we're living on a planet where most people are asleep. They're just asleep. They don't know why they're here, except to get things, do things, and die. And they are asleep to what's inside of themselves, they're asleep to their own love, their own power, they're asleep to experiencing things fully, they're asleep to the whole purpose of their own journey as a soul, as a spiritual being. And most people will sleepwalk through a whole lifetime, many lifetimes in my opinion. So if you're awake and you're listening to this, right now you should celebrate it because you're special. And the truth is that is really ultimately what, you know, my business is about, certainly this business is, in different levels of waking up. Waking up to the potential you have, the, you know, how you can uplift the world and help other people wake up as well. So my joy is to be a spiritual alarm clock for people. People tend to find me when they've just woken up, or when they really want to be woken up, or when they've woken up and are wandering around going, what do I do now? And suddenly there I am. And I say, it's okay. There's a lot of people like you, and we're all going here. And that's what I do. You know, the people, you know, kind of slightly disoriented are wandering and going, what am I supposed to do now? And I say, I will show you, because I've been there myself, and you're not alone. And that's the other thing, is that so many people feel the sense of isolation, that, you know, they are the only one who feels different. They're the only one who feels strange. They're the only one whose all their life felt there was something about them that was not normal, and that their appetites, their visions, their ways of feeling things was different. And this kind of pain of trying to fit in to a box or to a role or to an image. And I've, of course, always been different, if you can't tell. And when I talk to audiences, especially the people who, when they decide to work with me, and I'll say, how many of you have always felt different? People just raise their hands, like, trembling, looking around. You know, even I'm talking about major businessmen, et cetera, because it's as if it's their secret. There's something about me in my life that is calling me to more. And there's a language that I articulate about that searching. And when people hear that language, they understand it, if they're ready to understand it. And obviously, millions of people do, because I've written so many books, and, you know, hundreds of millions of people have bought them and read them, and it speaks to something in them. And that, to me, is really what teachers really do. And I'm a teacher. I mean, I'm an author and a marketer, and all, but ultimately, I'm a teacher. And that's something I've always been aware of. And, you know, I wrote in one of my books that the true role of a teacher is not to take you anywhere, but to help you pay attention to where you already are. And that's what a great teacher does. So my intention with everything I do is to help people pay attention, because my feeling is if you really pay attention, you will begin to see, learn, open, understand, and shift. And it's just that we're looking most of the time in the wrong direction.
Yeah, totally. No, in the whole personal development realm, I mean, there's, you know, one thing I've always admired about people that are working on themselves, you know, like the gym, for instance. I ended up getting a job working at a health club when I was going to college, and I was a guy that predominantly had my love for sports, if I ever had any, ruined when I tried to play little league from a coach that was just not a good person. So I had some not so good childhood experiences, and so it sort of molded a lot of my interests growing up. And I ended up getting a job at a health club, and one thing that I observed there was there would be people that were in incredibly good shape that were sort of arrogant, and they would kind of look down on people that weren't, you know, like big bodybuilders and stuff, you know, people that weren't as big as them. But then you take them out of that environment, and they wouldn't have the same level of confidence that they did have in that gym, and some parts of it became sort of cliquish. But my point is that I always looked at everyone, no matter if they're in great shape or had never worked out in their life and just happened to stumble into a gym and really didn't quite know what to do, but they were there. They showed up. And that the one commonality between everyone there was they're trying to work on themselves. They're trying to improve themselves. And I tend to think of the same way with someone in personal development. No matter what stage they're at, young, old, you know, small, big, whatever, is that they're showing up because they're trying to do something. They're seeking. And the personal development industry gets such a bad rap from the media. Not everyone, of course, but it's still. I mean, and you were starting out at the very beginning of so much of this. I mean, you are truly one of the pioneers in things. And I imagine the road of trying to deliver these messages to people has been just fraught with criticism and, you know, people, you know, just not having a very good opinion of you and of the personal development industry. And so I'd love to get some of your perspective on the personal development industry in general, and what do you feel it really does? Because as you talk about transformation, I think, you know, where this world's going to go, where people are going to go in their life is really based on getting the right teachers and seeking out things that really will make them more productive, more valuable, you know, human beings. So sort of, I guess, the question I'm asking you is, first, why does the personal development industry get such a bad rap? And then secondly, I mean, what is it? What does it mean to you?
Well, I could talk about this for an hour. Again, it depends on what you mean by the personal development industry. When I began doing this work, which was in the late 1970s, not my personal, when I actually began teaching. It was actually the mid-70s. There was no such thing as the personal development industry. It wasn't an industry. And again, you have to remember that there was, it's shocking for some people to imagine, no cell phones, no internet, no fax machines. No, I mean, seriously, you know, this was the dark ages for many of you who are listening who are younger. But
totally.
When I first wrote my first books, there weren't books that were not written, you know, by psychiatrists about relationships or about life. You know, this didn't exist. It was just beginning. And coming out of the 60s into the consciousness of the 70s, where the idea of self-actualization growing, that there's a reason to be here aside from just consuming, aside from just having a family, et cetera, that there's some kind of movement on the path of life. And a lot of this came from the Eastern influences that started to come over into this country in the 60s and the 70s, and from some of the real pioneers who began to really bring the concept of life as a journey, as a flow, which was not something that most people understood, into the group consciousness, again, starting in the late 60s and 70s, and I was certainly one of those that partook of that drink and then began my own journey, as many people did, and began to wake up and teach about it, et cetera. But when I first began, there was such a thing as a business that had to do with personal development. The closest thing you could say was somebody becoming a psychiatrist. But there was just nothing. It didn't exist. And I remember in college, sitting around with my college boyfriend one day, and I was, I guess, 19, and he said, you know, we have to figure what we're going to be doing with our life. What do you want to major in? What do you want to do? And I said, I want to major in love. I want to just, you know, teach people to be happy and love and to just free themselves. And he said, well, there's no job that's just, you know, that describes that. You know, there's no career, there's no occupation. I said, well, then I'm going to make one. And I did.
Yeah, no,
and
you absolutely did.
And I had no idea at the time. Now I have people who come up to me at events and they'll go, oh, thank you, you're the matriarch. You know, I just want to scream because I still feel like I'm 25, though I'm 59. But they'll come up and say, oh, God, thank you for start paving the way, you know. And it's kind of daunting, but I know I did. And I've always been one of my a psychic once told me I was the horn of the rhinoceros, that the horn goes first. The horn goes first, and then the body comes behind, and that in my life I would always be the horn. I've always been the horn. I have little rhinoceroses all my students give me. And so
that,
when
that, Barbara,
I did
not know that. That's good information to know.
So when I began to figure out, you know, well, maybe I'll create a seminar about this or create a seminar about it was really a process of just thinking, what do people need? And as I grew, the work grew. The personal development industry as an industry really began more in like the late 80s, early 90s. And I'd say when I first had my TV infomercial on Making Love Work, it was called, which was the first infomercial about personal development. You know, at the same time Tony Robbins had his on. That was when suddenly the idea that you could do things and there could be technology systems that would help you grow or shift and that would impact your life on the outside, that was a novelty, which obviously, you know, took off tremendously. And again, you have to remember at the time, you know, I would go on talk shows and in the very beginning, you know, it was shows that some people, again, who were younger, wouldn't have heard of now, you know, Merv Griffin and Dinah Shore. There was no Oprah. There were no shows about personal development. You would go on a show that was there, and it was a show about cooking and about celebrities, and then you would talk about your book. But there was no such thing as, you know, the idea of shocking having an hour about that topic. So it was something that people were very hungry for, and because of it developed. there was something that happened in the personal development industry in the mid to, well, particularly the late 90s and really the beginning of 2000, which the 90s sounds like yesterday to me, but I realize they're not anymore. And it's something that I think happened, and I'm a very blunt person, so this is going to be very authentic. There are people who had been in sales and marketing. You're not going to hear anyone else explain it this way because they haven't been around to see it, but I'll tell you what happened. There's people who were in sales and marketing, pure sales and marketing, multi-level marketing, products, et cetera. They were not involved in personal development. They weren't involved in their own personal development, who saw the personal development industry really booming. They saw it booming through books. They saw it booming through TV shows. They saw it booming through seminars and decided to kind of jump in. And you could use different words based on your, you know, co-opt, adopt, take, get a ride on, whatever you want to call it, that train, and started to shift the direction of the train into a lot of focus on money, a lot of focus on a certain kind of material success. And somehow the two worlds started to mix. So I would suddenly find myself, you know, when I started thinking, you know, I used to go around with Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay and myself, and we would, and this was in like the late 80s, early 90s, and we would give seminars all over Canada and all over the country. But you never heard the word money. You just didn't hear the word money. Deepak would talk about health. You know, Wayne would talk about, you know, self-actualization. Louise Hay would talk about the book. And I would talk about what I did. You just never heard, and you can make money, you know, and I can teach you how to make. It just wasn't there. And then suddenly, and a lot of this happened because the Internet came along, suddenly there was this association with personal development, meaning development of wealth. And again, you have to know the history to understand this was something that had been a side river, another road that had been completely set in the sales and marketing world that suddenly came and merged a lot with this idea of developing yourself. And I have to be honest with you and tell you again, not being somebody who hasn't worked very hard to make money in my life, but one of my, I had a hard time when this first happened because, and I still do to some extent, only because a lot of the people who were trying to really, they were seekers, and suddenly they'd find themselves at a conference, and what they were hearing about was money and not about personal development. Now, you can do both, but there was this very strong emphasis and a sense, because the people who were in sales and marketing knew a lot about sales and marketing, more than a lot of the people who were there who knew about development, because they'd been successful at that. They'd sold, you know, electronics. They'd sold vitamins, whatever it was. And suddenly they were there talking about personal development. Where is it really they knew about sales? So I, for years, and by the way, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have met you. And I, you and I have met at many gatherings and conferences from the first time we met, you know, in Calgary. But I would have never met you if this was 10 years ago because I wasn't invited to those conferences.
Yeah.
I had a very successful career because I, A, wasn't selling, and B, just wasn't thought of in those fields, and C, was a woman. And that's a whole topic we could talk about because I know a lot of the people listening to this will be women.
Yes.
But I was not in that category of, you know, go out, sale, hard clothes, et cetera. And, in fact, I'd be invited to things like that, and I would turn it down. I thought, I don't want to go to these things. This is not what I'm about. And so this, again, goes back to your question. I'm cycling around of, you know, what it means to be a seeker, people who are, you know, in the personal development field and where it gets a bad name, and we're coming back to the answer to that question, which is there are people in the field of personal development who have done no personal development. They have done business development. They're really good at it, better than me, way better than me. They're brilliant marketers. They're brilliant with networking and alliances and all these things. but they don't develop themselves. And so then you get the inevitable, and I'm not talking about everybody, certainly, but you get the inevitable issues that come up, lack of integrity, lack of authenticity, stuff that happens that isn't done in the proper manner, unhappy people, bad reputation. And now you get this energy about the personal development field, about scams, frauds, blah, blah, blah. None of this existed 20 years ago. Most of the people in personal development didn't have any money, or they were living very modestly. It was a different thing. So there's this interesting time we're in, where when you say to people, I'm in personal development, depending upon their experience, how old they are, what they've been exposed to, it could mean many things. And it's a big gamut. One of my intentions as a teacher and as somebody who's been doing this for a long time, not because it's popular or because it's a good way to make money now, but because I believed in it, one of my intentions has been to be very honest about this process and to try to raise the bar in the consciousness, both of the audiences and the people on stages, to really invite people to walk their talk, to talk about the difference between sales and authenticity, and to invite people who are trying to be successful or more successful to not forget about their own process of development and not just collect a bunch of systems and make some money and feel like they have done a great job and leave themselves out of the equation. And so I stand up and say that all the time. You've heard me say it. And it, there's lots of people who hear it, they get it, and they go, you're right, that's me, and I am ready. And there's people who say, I'm not ready, and that's fine. You have a lot of different stores, and when somebody wants something in your store, then you want to make sure you're open. So that's what I do. But it's been an interesting process to see the sense of what personal development is take some wrong turns, and then you get some very publicized and very unfortunate events. We had some of those last year. We're somewhat well-known people who've, been well-publicized because of their associations with certain films, et cetera, in the name of personal development are doing things totally out of integrity that have nothing to do with personal development, have to do with ego and power, and end up actually causing the deaths of other people in the name of personal growth. So suddenly I'm in an industry and people say to me, oh, do you know so-and-so, as if, I might be best friends with someone like that. And, well, how come seminars, people can go to seminars and die? So now you get my long answer to your question about the odyssey of the personal development movement, I don't want to use the word infiltration, but the merging of some energies, issues, and consciousness that really doesn't have the training, the background, and the journey, and therefore has created some of the issues, the questions, and the reputation that you've mentioned. Does that answer your question?
No, absolutely. And that was fascinating. I'm so happy you actually explained that and gave your perspective on it, because I just learned a lot, and it really opened up my mind to seeing things in a unique way, and really shows just how much you've actually been involved in and how you've thought about it. And a couple of things I want to point out that I thought were just great lessons. I mean, for me, I sell how to make money stuff is the category I put it in, with automated marketing systems. I teach people how to use direct response marketing to just make all of their messaging and their communications with people simply more effective and more clear and more compelling. And the funny thing is over the years, when I first developed my first system, I was a dead broke carpet cleaner living off credit cards, and I learned marketing not because I ever thought I'd sell it to someone, but because I needed to eat. And I got really good at it, and I just loved the whole, everything about it. I was finding myself reading all of these marketing courses and going to seminars, and I just loved it. And I said, that's really where I want to develop this expertise, and I want to teach it to other people. And I kind of accidentally fell into it because I sold a couple of, campaigns and promotions to people that were other carpet cleaners, and it actually worked. And so I thought, how do I, you know, package and sell this stuff up. But the point was is that I was a convert of my own system. And I, you know, I used everything that I sold. I never thought, oh, I'm going to go into this business and try to sell something I've never used or never done before. I was simply just selling what was working for me to other people, and I knew it worked for others because I had a couple of you know, real life examples from other individuals that I had given these same tools to. And when I developed my stuff in the beginning, the way I thought about it was, you know, I want to create the exact same sort of marketing system that I wish had existed when I first started my business, so I wouldn't have had to go through 2 years of, you know, grueling pain trying to figure this stuff out, living off credit cards.
Absolutely.
You know, that sort of thing. And people that don't go through the process, that just try to, like, knock it off, or like you say, you know, the business people that are out there trying to, quote-unquote, monetize personal, you know, personal development, but they themselves don't walk the walk or talk the talk. I mean, it's about as incongruent as a very unhealthy doctor that drinks and smokes and tells,
correct,
you know, his patients, you shouldn't drink and smoke. I mean, it's just stupid, and it's just incongruent. And
see, I wish that you had been around when I started. And this is why I want to make sure it's clear that all the systems that, and which I myself don't even use as many as I should, all of these things are so invaluable. But I guess what I would say is that they're invaluable. It's fantastic that people, you know, like you have developed these things that can help people support their businesses. They're fantastic. My battle is with people who say that that's personal development. That's business development. And it's fantastic. And everyone needs it. And when I stand up on the stage, I was just talking to somebody who I'm speaking at his event next week, and and you see me, I'll stand up and say to everybody at an event, you should absolutely go buy so-and-so's entire system. It's fantastic. You know, I should be using all of it. It's wonderful. But that has nothing to do with developing you.
Right.
It has
right.
to do with essential business tools that everybody needs, that, you know, exactly what you're talking about. So it's people who somehow talk about that, and then people feel they're, quote, working on themselves or becoming a better person because they're fixing up their business. That's what I have a problem with, because then in the name of, you know, I'm going to help you be masterful, you can have a masterful business and be very not masterful in your life, and that's when you get out of integrity. So it's not either or. It's both.
Right. No, absolutely. And you know what's funny is I think before I ever learned marketing, I've always been a seeker. I've always been a person that was looking for anything that would give me a better insight, more
confidence. Well, yes. Yeah, and I was going to say that because I've been on a panel with you, and you have, and you're an old soul, and you explored whatever you could to find truth, and, you know, have woven in and out of many valleys with that. That's, you know, I always say, you know, people who go through hard times sometimes in their lives are frustrated takers, and so they're finding whatever they can. And so, you know, I honor you for that. I respected you tremendously when I heard more about your own personal journey, because it has been a journey, and it's brought you out to an amazing place where you are doing amazing things for the world and, you know, have a beautiful countenance about yourself, but you can tell that it's, you know, it's been one with battle scars. And battle scars are wonderful. You know, they're wonderful. And that's the kind of deep work that I wish not only everybody on the planet would do, but certainly people who are out there actually standing up and saying, I want to make a difference. So, you know, for everybody listening to this, at any time when you happen to find yourself hearing, you know, us talk right now, that's my invitation to people. Don't just expand your business, expand you. Don't just try to have a masterful product and a masterful pitch and a masterful, you know, sale. Make yourself masterful. Don't leave yourself out. You know, abundance means inner and outer abundance. So don't rip yourself off and just build a great business or try to create a great product or create a great marketing system, and then you have something that's working and you yourself in your own life isn't. That's the message for me. And and there are people who, you know, like Joe, can help you tremendously build a masterful business. And when you're ready to be masterful personally, that's where I come in, and that's why we all, you know, there's many rooms, you know, to the house of expanding your consciousness, and you can visit each one, and that's the whole point.
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, I'd like to ask you about, first off, anyone that would be listening to this right now is, I would believe, is clearly interested in developing themselves and transforming. And they, you know, they're on that path, and you would be a great advisor and someone that could give them that sort of direction. And so as a starting point, with all of the different ways to go about improving yourself and improving your life, I want you to direct the listeners into some, like a plan and a path of where they should start, where they should go, how they can really take this on, and including, you know, everything that you've developed, because I think it would be silly to say, hey, Barbara, what should they do? Because part of what they should do is a lot of what you've already created for people. So I'd like to have you share some of the things that you teach people how to do, that you do teach them how to do, so they can see a little bit of it. Because, I mean, there's no way in this such a short period of time you can take, you know, 40 years worth of work that you've developed and say, here you go. I mean, it's a process like anything else. So I'd like you to maybe just talk about some steps. Where should they go, and how can they really take this on? So, and if that includes, you know, any of your books to read, like your current book, any of your events, please talk about that stuff, because I'd love to give the listeners some direction on how to enhance everything in their life up to this point to just take it to the next place of growth.
Well, I think of really what I offer as a gift, and so I want to start with that, because in knowing that we're going to be doing this, and I really am so grateful and honored. I've, you know, for years I've been seeing your CDs, and I'm like, what about me? When do I get to talk to him? So I'm very happy to be doing this, and I get asked to do so many of these, and I turn most of them down. I really have to respect and like the person and feel that they're in integrity, or I won't do them. I mean, I'm at that place in my career, I don't have to. And so, so I really am so grateful and really honor you for the amazing work that you're doing. But in anticipation of that, the first thing I want to do is offer everybody a gift. You've heard me talk, and I always talk about what can I give you, not what can I get from you. And
right.
So I have to start with what can I give you. And if anyone goes to just types in barbarasgift.com, they'll be redirected to a page, the back page of my website, which is a special offer. And at the bottom of the page, and the top of it is going to be a picture of me. And this is Transformation Programs, and I'll talk about that in a second. But at the very bottom of the page, there's a audio teleseminar that I did earlier this year that is so exciting, and it's called More Than Words, How You Can Start Changing the World. And it's really about the missing ingredient that we all have, that when we combine it with our business practices, can really shift us in terms of how we show up, how we communicate, how we get clients, etc. It's a several-hour seminar, and if you just fill in what it says here, you can get it instantly. It's something I did that I felt was so valuable. I wanted as many people as possible to have it, and you're welcome to listen to it and let anybody else listen to it that you want. So that's just, if you go to barbarasgift.com, it's there, and you can get it in a few seconds after listening to this. And I do a lot of different things. I do what I call transformation programs, which are actual programs that combine a lot of different things, live seminars with me, coaching, virtual seminars with me, and, you know, some of them are longer, some of them are shorter, et cetera. But what I wanted to do, because I really like to give people a taste of the best things I do, was to create something that was really special for everybody who's going to be listening to this. So I put together what I'm calling an introductory transformation program, and it has some of the best things I do in it. packaged together for like an absolutely outrageous value, which comes out to about $1.36 a day over a year, which I think is pretty good because you probably can't buy gum for $1.36.
And it's a heck of a deal.
It is a heck of a deal. It's done. I only offer it if I'm doing something like this with somebody about two times a year. So there's a seminar. I mentioned prosperity before. We've been talking a lot about business. And one of the things that I found with everything else people are doing in terms of monetizing their business, getting their internet deal together, is not realizing that there are so many ways that we sabotage our ability to receive abundance and success without even realizing it. That there are things we're doing on the inside, energetically, there's baggage we have that will actually block money, success, and love in your life. If it's hard to imagine that we have inner blocks to receiving, but we do. And so this is a teleseminar I do. It's exclusive. It's usually about 50 people on it at a time. And it's something that I'm offering in this introductory transformation program. It usually costs $800, and you'll see the whole thing is so much less than that. That's something I wanted to really offer, particularly the people who are going to be listening to this, who are interested in expanding their success in business, but perhaps there's a missing ingredient they haven't been thinking about. So opening up to prosperity, it'll just blow your mind to really think about some of these issues you may not realize are actually blocking money and success from coming in. There's also something called Blast Off 2010, which is a 3-hour seminar about how to actually experience success every single day and to not set yourself up and actually use goals to sabotage yourself. This is a whole amazing concept, but so many people who've did Blast Off with me, I did it at the beginning of the year, I've just said that they're using these things every day. So I included that in here. Usually that was just that people paid $300 just to be on that. And then I have a ton of products. I have something called Charisma Coaching. It's an e-coach program. Living the Life You Want is, you've seen me sell these at different events. It's a 12-CD seminar, and it's very inspiring, very motivational. If you like hearing me talk, you'll like listening to it, and with lots of meditations, all kinds of stuff. That's usually $400. My book, How Did I Get Here, which is really outrageous, and Confidence is a whole several-part audio series about how to really create confidence. And I actually decided to throw in some vouchers. So there's a $75 voucher for teleseminars with me anytime you want to use them. There's a $200 voucher for any of my live seminars, which I can tell you about. So the whole value of it is it's like about $2,055 or $2,100, I think. And we decided to put it together for two payments of $249, which is a really, really, really good deal because even opening up to prosperity costs more than that. And I wanted to just give people flavors of a little bit of the books, a little bit of the CDs, several teleseminars with me that are taped, a live seminar with me for a month. Fantastic, fantastic investment. And that's on the barbarousgift.com page. And as I said, even if you don't want to do that, if you just sign in where it talks about signing in, you can get the free teleseminar anyway, and there's even a way to read a free excerpt of the book. So we wanted to do something so everybody listening could get something and come away with something. It's always important for me to feel I'm giving and offering to people. And I have to, everywhere I go and everything I do, feel like I'm adding value to people's lives. So I'm excited about this offer because it's something that I got inspired knowing we were going to do this and put together. And we sat and thought, all right, what can we really do that's going to make this work? And it's not something you can, even if you come to a seminar with me in person, this isn't going to be offered because we couldn't afford to do it, as you know, because you have to give huge percentages to people when you show up somewhere.
Exactly.
But I can afford to do it here and for you. And so just go to barbarousgift.com. It's not going to expire. It's just here. So you can look at it, get off, look at it, think about it, look at it, and realize what a fantastic value it is. Just opening up to prosperity alone will shift your money issues so much. And the Blast Off, the Charisma Coaching, all of it, it's it's a really, 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 really good deal. So you can just click, there you are, and I'm very happy to offer it and really excited about being able to connect with people and serve them, particularly at this point in their lives.
Yeah, and first off, that is a fantastic package. I didn't even hear about it till just now, so I just want to let all the listeners know that you can learn a tremendous amount from Barbara, and this is not a joint venture with her trying to sell something that we're both going to do a split on. I don't keep a penny of this. That's why she is able to offer all of that. I just highly recommend you go to barbarasgift.com and check it out. And, you know, if you've picked up anything listening to Barbara today, then you can just imagine how much more there is there and how that can really set you on a path. So before we wrap up, I want to ask you a couple of other things. You talk about the, you know, the connection between who you are on the inside versus what you manifest on the outside. So much of what people pursue is more money, more wealth, looking a certain way, but you've said it many times and you talk about it in so much of your speeches and your presentations. It's really about what's going on the inside. Elaborate on that more, because I think a lot of people hear that, but they don't really quite understand. What does that actually mean? I mean, where is it inside me? Is it my heart? Is it my brain? I mean, what does that actually mean?
There's two parts to each of us when we show up anywhere, whether it's you going into a business meeting, you on the phone, you giving a presentation, you working in whatever way you work, or you in a relationship. It's what people see and hear. So that means your body, how you look, your words, your product, if you have something you're offering people. That's on the outside. But then there's what I call the soundtrack of your soul. The music playing in the background, who you are, your vibes, your energy. The truth is that most of what impacts people has nothing to do with what they see or the words they hear. It has to do with what they feel. This has been proven over and over again in business and politics, etc. Only 7% of what we say people actually hear. They're feeling us. So, for instance, you could think of a great speech, Martin Luther King, I Had a Dream.
Yeah.
I Have a Dream. And you could give that speech to somebody else to read. Same speech. Same words. You could even have them imitate and memorize the cadence of the speech, and it would have no impact. Because what you were feeling when he gave that speech, and I'm using it just because it's something that most of us have seen in school or on television at some time in our lives, what you were feeling was him. You were feeling a vibrational energy of hope, of motivation, of inspiration, of belief, of faith. And it was vibrating through the words like the soundtrack behind a script in a movie. It was vibrating. And that vibration impacts us. We feel it. We say, God, I felt moved, or I felt so motivated listening to a speaker. You're using the word feel because you're feeling it. It's not you're saying, oh, he used good words. I like him. Something happens to you. There's a shift. Life is really a vibrational process. This is physics, pure physics. Everything is happening is vibrationally affecting us. Love, you know, what does it mean? You look at someone, you love them. What's happening? There's an actual vibration. You can feel. You know, I just felt like knocked over by the person. Or I could feel the love. What are you actually feeling? It's not a physical thing. It's a vibrational reality. This is something I learned a long time ago in my own spiritual path and the development of the kind of cleaning out of, you know, all the junk in your heart, cleaning all the emotional baggage all of us have, cleaning out of all the limiting and negative thoughts in the mind. What you're left with is powerful, uplifting vibration, which is really something everybody has access to. It's just the is. It's just the same force that's inside of everybody. It's love, it's power, it's hope. It's what we tap into. It's the ocean of consciousness when we don't have all that junk covering it up. So when that, as your secret weapon, as your great background music is there, what happens is the lens through which your message is passing, and I always say you are the lens through which your message must pass. Whatever the message is, whatever, you could be talking about health, money, you know, family, it doesn't matter. You could be talking about plumbing. But everything you say has to pass through a lens, and the lens is you. The lens is you. So no matter how great your message is, your words, your delivery, your package, your website, ultimately, to really impact people on a personal level and on a big level, you can't bypass you. You just can't do it. And you actually will become so much more powerful, so much more successful with that secret ingredient. So when I say the inside, I'm really talking about what is the substance of everything. What's the real essence of who you are. What's always communicating, whether you think about it or not. You know, I always say, you know, we're always communicating whether or not our mouth is open. So you could work, for instance, you know, in my speaking classes that I give in Santa Barbara, you know, you could sit and have the perfect speech, the perfect pitch, the perfect jokes. It doesn't matter. It's what you're vibrating that's going to make you a great speaker or not a great speaker. You can't fake passion. You can't fake love. You can't fake compassion and caring. You can't. So when I talk to people, I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to take all the good things you already have or all the products you and actually add you in the mix, you know, the biggest, most masterful, free you, and to not have to go forward without you in the mix of your life or in spite of you. What about really bringing all of your gifts fully out into the world? And that is a real reality, and we all know that. You can just think of the simplest example on a good day when you're feeling really excited or in love with life or really caring about people. Some magic happens when you go into a meeting or you talk. On a day when you don't feel that way, you can say the same words. It doesn't have the same effect. So we all know what this means. To some extent, we've all seen people who speak from the stage, or we meet them and we go, whoa, you know, that person has charisma. What is charisma? I talk about this in the transformation program I'm offering at barbarousgift.com. Charisma is simply that really pure transmission of that incredible life force inside of you. When you say somebody has charisma, wouldn't you all love charisma? You can't buy it. You can't manifest it or get it in a package. It has to come from you tapping in. It's, you're either plugged into the light source or you're not. So when you're plugged in to that, you know, big electrical circuit called life spirit, you will light up, and people will get lit up in your presence, whether they hear you on an interview like this or they see you just for a few minutes. If you're not plugged in, you can do all you want. You can put up colored paper, you know, fancy tin foil, whatever. Ultimately, nothing takes the place of light. See?
I love it. I mean, if that's not a good enough you know, encouragement for someone to work on the inside, because of the word you use many times, impacting all areas of your life.
Correct.
I don't know what is. So.
Yes, and that's it. So it's like, are you plugged in? And not plugged into network. Are you plugged in to, you know, that great circuit that is going to give you that edge? And I have to say that that is, without question, what has made me successful. Without question. And it continues to. And it continues to be why, when I speak, people have the experience that they do. Why I've been as successful as I am. Not for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, one bestseller, but over and over and over again. It's because of that interconnection. And that's something that is not really mystical or magical at all. It's a very easy thing to really begin to clear out all that emotional debris and get hooked back in. And when it happens, even a little bit, it changes everything. It's like just a pinprick in a black sheet that covers the light source. Just one little opening, and the light starts to stream through. This is what my clients always experience. Something happens so radically, so quickly, when they start to really tap into that, get rid of a lot of the emotional baggage they've been carrying that keeps them small, and bang, success increases, happiness increases. And instead of a seeker, they're a finder.
There you go. That's great. So having said that, we've now given everyone an invitation. Go to barbarasgift.com. Start there. And the last thing I want to ask you, Barbara, because I know there's this thing in all human beings called resistance, as my good friend Stephen Pressfield says, that, you know, the people that will be listening to this, all different stages, from very successful business owners, mostly entrepreneurs, to people that are just out there wanting to do better in the world, from single mothers to, you know, young people that are venturing out into their worlds. And there's a lot of different shapes and sizes and varieties of people that listen to my Genius Network interviews. And the one thing with most of them is they're all readers, they're all learners. They wouldn't even be listening to something like this if they weren't. And there's a lot of things that vie for their attention. And you, not only being a great teacher, but being a great student, how would you recommend the best ways to learn? How do you take all of this on? How do you take the time to listen to it and put it into your life and fit it in and make it a priority? Any suggestions or recommendations for just learning, especially as it relates to your stuff? They go to Barbara's Gift. They have this smorgasbord of awesome stuff that if they really take it in, could have such a gigantic impact, you know, by 1,000 times over and above the small financial investment for it. How does someone really best learn?
I think what helps is to understand that investing in your enlightenment, investing in your awakening, investing in your freedom is the most important thing you will ever do. When I first signed up to learn how to meditate in 1969 with my spiritual teacher at the time, it was $35. I didn't have $35. That was a huge amount of money to me. I spent weeks babysitting, not eating, doing everything to collect that $35 fee, which of course now seems like nothing. And that $35 turned into hundreds of millions of dollars. It really did. That seed that was planted not only impacted me in profound ways, but has impacted hundreds of millions of people. So you may think you know what you're capable of doing, or you may think you have a limit to how you think you can impact the world, but don't underestimate your destiny. When you're ready, you will be given opportunities you can't even imagine now, but you have to be ready. Don't limit yourself into thinking you're too anything, too old, too messed up, too screwed up, too busy, too, you know, working too hard with your kids. Any of that limits you. The universe is a very unlimited place. If you're feeling at all something resonating with you, something recognizing truth in what I say, then I invite you to accept that gift, open to that possibility, and know that there's moments when we have in our life appointments with hearing things that will be an alarm clock for us. And I hope that this has been an alarm clock for many of you. Whether you work with me, whether you just get my free gift, or whether you don't, it doesn't matter. We've had this time together, and my joy and privilege is in sharing my wisdom, passing it on, and reminding you that every day is so precious and nothing can limit you except your own limited understanding of who you are and what you are here for. You are in the right place. You're hearing this for a reason. And I'm very, very grateful that you've taken the time to listen to this. And I'm so grateful to you, Joe, for not just inviting me to do this, but really seeing me, hearing me, speaking to me from such a profound place that we could have such an incredible conversation that I know will end up impacting so many people.
Absolutely. And you, of course, thank you so much. I'm so happy we were able to take the time to do this, and I appreciate your time. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate your gifts and the offer that you made everybody, and I hope this is just one of many, many things that we do in the future that we can deliver this message to many people. And it's also, I just get a big kick out of this because I have no idea how old I was when I read one of your first books on, I think it was one of the ones I can remember the title was Secrets About Women That, the Men That Every Woman Should Know. Believe it or not, I actually read that book years ago. And, you know,
a lot of men really fell in love with me because of the sex section of that book.
Oh yeah, no, it's fantastic. It was totally fantastic. And doing an interview with you now, you just never know where life is going to take you. And that's totally because I was a seeker. And that's totally because I've always worked on developing myself and everything that you've talked about today. So, thank you, Barbara. And, to all of our listeners, go to barbarasgift.com right now. And share this interview with anyone in your life that you think needs to hear it. And if you even have an inkling that, oh, I think, you know, Susie or John or someone should hear this, then that's probably life's way of giving you an alarm clock that, yeah, you know, pass this message on, because the whole goal is to create value in the world and to help other people and make good things happen. So thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome, dear. Thank you. Many blessings for your work, and thank you for the opportunity to do what I was born to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to our listeners, please give me your feedback on this at geniusnetwork.com, and we'll talk with you next time. Have a great week, great month, great year, great life.
Hello, this is Joe Polish. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview. I hope you found it very useful. Please give me your feedback on all of the interviews that you listen to. I'd love to hear your feedback so we can always deliver a great program for you. Our website is www.joepolish.com, and we also have a Joe Polish Recommends section, so you can take a lot of the ideas and concepts that you hear on my Genius Network interview series and apply them to your business and find vendors and resources. You can go to joepolish.com to find that information and click on the Joe Polish Recommends section. And also, if you would like to find out about more interviews and invest in more useful Genius Network series interviews, go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks, and eat your competition alive.